Our message this morning is going to be based in part on the Gospel of Matthew, verses 25, or chapter 25, verses 34 through 40. It goes like this. The ruler will say to those on the right, "Come, you blessed of my Abba Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me, naked and you clothed me. I was ill and you comforted me, in prison and you came to visit." Then these just will ask, "When did we see you hungry and feed you, or see you thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you as a stranger and invite you in, or clothe you in your nakedness? When did we see you ill or in person and come to visit you?" The ruler will answer them, "The truth is, every time you did this to the least of these, my sisters or brothers, you did it to me." Maybe I bless him in understanding to the reading of these words. Well, after the news of yesterday, I had to change up. I didn't have to, but I felt like it was necessary to change up my message. The new title of my message today is Pepper Spraying Jesus. The truth is, every time you did this to the least of my sisters or brothers, you did it to me. Yesterday, about 20 minutes from where I'm standing, 20 minutes that way, from where I'm standing right now, police approached a group of folks who were peacefully practicing their First Amendment rights and pepper sprayed them and began arresting. A friend of mine who is a reporter was on the scene. And according to him, the group had a permit. They had been working with the local police and organizing the rally. And the group that got pepper sprayed included children, a black woman in a wheelchair. The truth is, every time you did this to the least of my sisters and brothers, you did it to me. Now, as a minister, I'd certainly be more politically correct in a sermon to give the benefit of a doubt to those officers and say, I don't really know quite why they made those choices that they did. But here's the thing. The truth is, every time you did it unto one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you did it to me. White silence truly is white violence, and I will not participate in the violence by giving it a benefit of a doubt. Those men and women, those children and pastors, that reporter and the lady in the wheelchair, they were peppered sprayed because black people were going to vote. Now, you're going to hear all kinds of reasons provided by those in power about why they felt that it was necessary to pepper spray children. But the bottom line is that black people were going to vote. You see, in the South, that reality continues to frighten a certain segment of white society. Even the Electoral College is a response to that specific fear. You see, they've been given privilege. They've been given power just in the very nature of being born white. And my suspicion is that they're afraid of losing that unearned power because they assume those newly appointed to that position will treat them as poorly as they treated others. Worse yet, they somehow try to position themselves as Christians as they pepper spray the least of these in their desperate efforts to remain privileged. Truth is, every time you did this to the least of my sisters and brothers, you did it to me. It's difficult to read the teachings of Jesus and come away thinking that some people deserve to have more privilege than others. We are not only supposed to love our neighbors, but we're also supposed to love our enemies equally. In the Gospel of John, Jesus tells us, quote, "The servant is not greater than his master, nor is the messenger greater than the one who sent him." And even in that time period, when women were viewed as second-class citizens, we have textual evidence that women played a very important role in Jesus' ministry. Interestingly enough, that kind of equality is a fundamental concept of democracy, which is designed to provide for the political, legal, and moral equality of all citizens. In other words, in a fully realized and developed democracy, there should be no second-class citizens. Now, there are various types of democracy, and historically some do a better job at maintaining the equality of all citizens. At the core of each, however, is a value that was taught by Jesus, as well as by many other great spiritual teachers. It's this: all people should be treated with equality. And not only that, but the truth is, every time you did this to one of the least of my sisters and brothers, you did it to me. While it is certainly true that the United States was not founded as a Christian nation, it's also true that Christians make up a majority of Americans, which I find strange when I consider the current state of our nation. You see, being that the U.S. was actually founded as a democratic nation, everyone should be treated equally. And at the same time, we are to be ruled by the desires of the majority, hence election. Well, that is, if the elections are treated evenly for each vote. Just from yesterday's event, not far from here, we can see that our elections don't always manage to do that. And don't even get me started on gerrymandering. Here's the thing. That should infuriate, motivate, and embarrass the majority of Christians who claim the name of Christian. But it doesn't always. Every day the U.S. headlines tell the story of democracy that has no equality of false citizens. We read of black men being gunned down by police. We also read of conservative white men armed to the teeth protesting in state capitals who are ignored at the most or celebrated at the worst. We read of police pepper spraying children at a peaceful protest. We even read of our president celebrating the efforts of armed citizens causing havoc and endangering the lives of his opponent's campaign team. Does our democracy have second-class citizens? Yes, we do. Does our democracy have a privileged class? Yes, we most certainly do. That's some kind of democracy, huh? It's strange. We live in a nation where more than 70% of its citizenry identify as Christian. Yet, as recent elections have shown us, many of them are not only happy to vote for leadership in government that turns a, a blind eye to these severe kinds of inequality, they are actually actively seeking leadership that promotes that kind of behavior. Does that kind of behavior sound like what the behavior of folks attempting to follow the teachings of a man who said a servant is not greater than his master, nor is the messenger greater than the one who sent him, should be? I certainly don't think so. Does it sound like the behavior of people who were told, by this all people will know that you're my disciples, if you have love for one another? Again, I certainly don't think so. The truth is, every time you did this to one, the least of my sisters and brothers, you did it to me. Studying the gospel text, it's easy to see that Jesus taught his followers the importance of creating a just and equitable society. And we can also recognize that a fundamental concept in democracy includes political equality for all people. And we know that at the heart of any democracy is voting. Now, given all of that, and I know that's a bit, it would logically follow that in the democracy of the United States, where the majority of citizens identify as Christian, access to voting should be a primary concern and desire of the majority of citizens. However, we all know that it isn't. The reality is, many of the officials who are democratically elected seem to be actively promoting certain severe forms of inequality. It may be that this is particularly true at the voting booths, the very heart of any true democracy. In other words, these democratically elected officials are working diligently to destroy any real presence of democracy and any real presence of equality. All too often, they do it in the name of God, or at least use the name of God to manipulate the majority of Americans to, at best, turn a blind eye to it, or at worst, celebrate it. Then they turn around and promote American exceptionalism and the American dream, even as they are pitifully proud of having knowingly inserted so many obstacles into the democratic process that they have effectively killed the American dream for those who struggle the most and ripped away any realistic claim that the U.S. is exceptionally virtuous. It's not even virtuous to its own citizens. From closing down polling centers, requiring voting IDs, voting roll purges, to actively opposing vote-by-mail efforts in the midst of a pandemic, to calling for armed intimidation at polling places, they are creating conditions that destroy any real possibility of political equality for those on the margins of society. Truth is, every time you did it to the least of my brothers and sisters, you did it to me. Despite their frequently veiled or direct claims that the U.S. is a Christian nation, when confronted with the inequitable realities of the election system that they have created, they frequently make calls to rugged individualism and the need for people to persevere. It does not seem to occur to them that such calls from places of power stand over and against biblical teachings about the duties of the powerful to help those who struggle. Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. put it this way: it is all right to to tell a man to lift himself up by his own bootstraps, but it is just cruel jest to say to a bootless man that he ought to lift himself up by his own bootstraps. America's conservative Christian elected officials and many of the people who put them there have effectively stolen the boots of many minorities and now demand that they pull themselves up by the bootstraps. They actively sell the modern myth of rugged individualism in the U.S. like a snake oil salesman who killed off the town doctor. And all too frequently, they do it in the name of God or in the name of Jesus without bothering to pay any real attention to what the Bible actually says. I, for one, have no desire for a Christian nation, particularly one that's some bizarro reflection of what Christianity is supposed to be. I suspect that those who closely follow the teachings of Jesus feel the same way I do. And at the same time, if we do value the teachings of Jesus, we cannot sit idly by as the powerful use God's name in vain in order to build their power and wealth on the backs of the people who the system regulates to the margins of society. Truth is, every time you did this to the least of my sisters and brothers, you did it to me. There are many ways to work towards change in this ironically unjust democracy. And one key way is through truly democratic voting where each person has equal ability, not just equal access, but ability to vote. So I don't know what else to do. I'm encouraging you, if you haven't already, get out and vote. And when you're making your choices on who to vote for, remember the black men who were gunned down by the police. Remember the elderly and the economically vulnerable. Remember the sick and those in prison. Remember the homeless and the hungry. Remember the children at a peaceful rally who were pepper sprayed. Then vote your heart out. Why? The truth is this. Every time you did, the least of my brothers and sisters, you did it for me. Let's take a moment to center ourselves, calm myself. Breathe a little bit. We sure need to learn to take a few extra deep breaths over the next several days. Let me offer up what I wrote as a prayer. It's one of the ones that I tend to go back to from time to time. And you can accept it as a prayer, as a reading, as a poetry. Just let the words wash over you or lift it up with me. Let's bow our heads. Good and gracious God, rescue us from our self-importance. Pull us from the depths of our short-sighted selfishness. May we be reminded of the interconnectedness of life. May we be convicted with the reality that a threat to justice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. May we be inspired towards lives lived out for others, lives that persistently shout from the mountaintops, "You will not harm him. You will not take advantage of her. I demand justice. We demand justice." May we continue to become modern day John the Baptist, shouting out into today's deserts, which are so unnecessarily littered with the pitfalls of the powerful. May we shout out into today's deserts calls to lower the mountains that divide us, calls to raise up the valleys which entrap us, cause to make straight the sometimes crooked ways of the powerful, and cause to make smooth the rough patches of life that can sometimes bury those on the margins underneath the unbearable knowledge that profit and power and prestige seem to be more important to the world than their own dignity, and that the unique reflection of God found in them is somehow less valued than others. May we be the bringers of justice. May we be lights on a hill. May we be salt unto the earth. May we be the harbingers of justice, voices of equality, God's love for a world in need. May we be your people. May we act like it, bringing peace and love and justice to all of your creation. Amen.